that's when the pressure just, you know, grew to its largest, because we knew if we didn't come back or if we didn't respond, like, just the weight of the whole world was on us. And, Jesus, you know, when we didn't, I mean, it was like, it was tough, man, because we knew the season wasn't over. Obviously, we had bigger goals, but, like, that was a game, like, you can't lose. And so that was kind of our mentality. I feel like we were trying not to lose more than we were trying to win.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
That was Paulo Banchero from the J.J. Redick Old Man and the Three podcast. Conversation about Coach K's senior night. That was, first of all, if you like the NBA, that is a very good podcast. It's not hardcore basketball. It's more really good conversations with NBA players.
Redick's great.
Redick is awesome at it. Redick's very good at television.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of my favorite, I don't even know how much he does it anymore, but he goes on First Take. And it's the worst thing that ever happened to Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
The worst thing, which may be why I don't see him on First Take a lot anymore, because Redick is just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
First of all, J.J. is mostly, not always, but mostly right about these things because he's not hot taking them up. And it's disarming, I think, to Stephen A. He's a difficult opponent for Stephen A.
He doesn't know what to do.
Right? It's sort of like if in tennis, some people don't like it when the other player is just hitting the ball soft back to him. They need the pace of the ball. Like, what do I do now? He's just lobbing it back. But it's a change of pace for Stephen A. Smith that might be a little bit alarming for him. Anyway, it's a great podcast. Check it out and listen to that episode. But there were a lot of people talking about that after we played those clips yesterday. Bad look for Coach K. You certainly are free to think that. I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but the way to interpret that is Coach K put too much into that night at the expense of preparation, game plan, practicing and all that, mm-hmm. being ready. I think it was really circumstance more than anything else, and the players got caught up in it because how could you not?
Yeah.
How could you not? We have 60 seconds on as many games as we can get to. It's called Minute Takes. All right, let's start. We got a bowl game today, 6:30 tonight. It is Wake Forest and Missouri in the Gasparilla Bowl. I still don't know what that is. It sounds like a drink, but it might be a pesticide.
Maybe it's both.
I would hope not. I would hope not. Anyway, Sam Hartman is going to play for Wake Forest. That is good news for Wake Forest and bad news for Missouri. And I think Wake Forest will post a ton of points against Missouri. Give me the Deeks. Missouri might post a ton of points too, but give me the Deeks minus the 2.5 to run roughshod.
My thing is that this is the last time I think we're going to see Sam Hartman in a Wake Forest uniform. Yeah. He told me back at ACC kickoff in July that he was planning on moving on after the season. Now other opportunities can arise, but I think he's going to try and go pro.
Good luck to Sam Hartman. Is he going to be wearing that little like newsboy hat?
I hope so.
Yeah, very nice.
God, I hope so. Look
All right,
that.
You go.
All right, Panthers play the Lions tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, actually. Gosh, it's hard to believe they're playing tomorrow.
They're playing tomorrow?
Yeah, they're playing tomorrow. Now, because
that's right, Sunday's most
Christmas.
Of the games are on Saturday.
So my big thing for the Panthers going in is that you got a gift with the Bengals beating the Bucks last week. So you still are in control of the path in terms of getting to the playoffs. So the loss last week didn't hurt you. This is a Lions team that's coming in really hot, who's also trying to compete for a wild card spot. This is a sneaky, fun game. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Suddenly, the Lions are playing big games every week, and it is a big game for the Panthers, too. Unfortunately, I think the Lions are the better team, and I think the Lions are going to win, but I will be enjoying the football game tomorrow as I run around getting last-minute gifts.
I just love the fact that we have a late December game where the Panthers are playing in a game that's meaningful.
Absolutely.
And the Lions are playing in a game that's meaningful in late December.
And if both the Bucks and the Panthers lose, next week's game is still meaningful.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna drop down. I'm gonna go to NC State in Maryland.
Ah, yes.
All right. This is the Mayonnaise Bowl. This is Dennis's favorite bowl game.
Oh, that's gross.
Because the winning coach gets doused in mayonnaise. And I hope it's the high test mayonnaise and not some light mayonnaise crap. NC State playing Maryland, what could go wrong?
Oh, nothing.
What could go wrong? Give me the Terps. The Terps plus, actually, it's a pick 'em game.
I'm wondering who all is not going to play for NC State. But this is also the last hurrah, all those 30 guys that we saw graduate or out there on senior day. This is their last opportunity. I still haven't seen, I haven't really looked much into it in terms of, is Peyton Wilson going to play? Is Drake Thomas going to play? Who's not going to be playing? Obviously, Devin Leary's not going to be there. So who starts that quarterback? Is it going to be Finley? Are we going to see MJ Morris?
It's going to be Finley. I think they're... Morris has to be shut down, right?
Either way, we can't let Maryland win. They skipped out on the ACC. Get them out of here.
Debbie Yao at home is going. See, I know Gold is all about his school. I haven't rooted for Maryland in 20 years.
Good.
20 years it's been since I've rooted for Maryland. You go.
The true battle of the Carolinas, East Carolina versus Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is going to have a new head coach in Tim Beck. I'm not even sure if who's actually going to be calling plays or anything like that for Coastal in this game. I would like to see Mike Houston and ECU obviously wrap things up with their season. They had a pretty good year this year. A good bowl win is going to help continue to elevate that program back to where we want ECU to be, because I think it's good for the health of football, college football in the state of North
Absolutely.
Carolina when ECU and App are really good. Plus, as well, is that we got to band together, state of North Carolina. We're facing South Carolina.
Right.
Anytime we can band together to take down South Carolina, because the state of South Carolina stinks, I'm for it.
beat mustard based.
Exactly.
East Carolina has a quarterback that we know. South Carolina has a Coastal Carolina has a quarterback that we don't. Because their quarterback left, right? He entered the portal.
He's in the portal. I think he actually might be playing, though.
East Carolina's a favorite. -7.5. Give me the Pirates. Give me the Pirates. All right, Central Florida and Duke in the Military Bowl. I think Duke is serious about this game.
Yeah.
Flat serious about this game. I really do. And I'm going to take the team that I think is serious and might be better anyway. How close was Duke to winning 10 games this year?
Very.
Riley Leonard is legit. They've got running backs and wide receivers that are all good and sticking around. Give me Duke to start next year in the Military Bowl. I guess Duke is also -3.5. We'll give it.
A lot of schools are obviously dealing with who's in the transfer portal and things like that. Duke isn't.
Yeah.
And outside of maybe some seniors that may have, or people guys dealing with injuries and so forth, this team's intact. And like you said, they're legit taking this game seriously because they want to wrap up season one for Mike Elko in a positive way. I think Duke blows them out.
There you go. All right. We have room for probably two more. You want to do the football game and do Giants-Vikings? Or you can go anywhere. I don't care.
Let's go to Oregon, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon, UNC.
Sure.
I have a feeling defense optional in this game, because when's the last time you actually have heard of Oregon having a good defense?
What do you mean you have a feeling? Defense optional.
Yeah, it's all right. Let's be honest. This game's gonna have about 100 points scored. I'm legit. Both teams are in the 50s in this game. Both teams in the 50s in this game.
Okay,
that's my prediction.
That's it. We're not predicting winner.
Nope.
I got a winner. Oregon is a real team, right?
Yeah, they have players.
I don't like North Carolina against teams like that.
That's fair.
I just have no. They have burned me enough. Mm. Similar team, I like North Carolina. A team that, like Oregon, maybe a step up in class. Take the Ducks and give 14.5.
Ooh.
Giving 14.5. No Josh Downs in this game either, right?
That's true.
All right, let's Let's close on this. All right, we'll do the NFL game, and I'll talk about the Premier League maybe with Luke DeCock. We have the Giants and the Vikings.
Okay.
Giants impressed me with the way they played against the Commandos last week. The Vikings do not impress me ever. They somehow freakishly come back and win games. You can do that against the Colts. I think the Giants are a different team than the Colts. I think the Giants are going to go to Minnesota and win that game. And it's really more about Minnesota than it is the Giants, but I'll take the Giants on the road at the Vikings.
Looking at the number of one possession wins for the Vikings this year.
All of them.
Lions, Saints, Bears, Dolphins, Cardinals, Commanders, Bills, Patriots, Jets, Colts. All but one of their wins have been one possession games. At what point do you regress down?
There will be a reversion to the mean.
Yeah.
It'll happen in the playoffs.
You might be right.
They'll lose a one possession game in the playoffs.
Might be right.
That's what's going to happen. Welcome to the final Adam Gold Show of the holiday season. Holiday run-up, anyway. And also the final one hosted by me for 2022. It'll be the Hayes Permar experience next week. There will be a best of, air quotes, on Monday, and Hayes will take it the rest of the week. There will be a best of on January 2nd. Again, air quotes, best of, best that we can do. And we'll do that. And then we'll see you on January 3rd after today. So, I don't think that's enough time for me to recharge, but we'll do the best we can. That's all we ever pledge to you, is that we will do the best we can. We don't do much better than this any week, any day during the week. Luke DeCock of the News and Observer, who joins us on Fridays. It is time to talk about a bunch of things. We are also going to do our top three sports moments, or moments, it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want. We have that kind of latitude. But real quick, I don't think the Hurricanes fall into our top three moments here. So what do you make of 13 straight without a functioning power play and without an offense that is generating more than three goals a game?
And a rookie goalie.
And a rookie goalie.
Carrying the load through all of this, yeah. I think what it is that when we talked at the start of the year about, look, this team's season doesn't start until April, it's a long year, all those things, this is part of it. When you're good, you find ways to win when you're not at your best. And the Hurricanes have been near their best at times, but haven't played their best hockey, haven't come close to it for any consistent period of time. And, this is part of being a good team. And I think that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing is a team that's a powerhouse in the league now, has a ton of talent, maybe underachieving. And I think you can make a pretty good case that they're significantly underachieving, but good enough to be the best team in the division, finding guys to contribute. And look, you know, this team went through the first 2 months of the season with very little from anyone other than Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, and Martin Natchez, and obviously a stout defense. And now you've got Jordan Staal kicking in goals like he thinks they're not going to renew his contract and he has to play for an extension. So when you start to get those other things come in, and look, when you get Teravainen scoring, if Stastny ever starts scoring, you know, Seth Jarvis, we know, has more to offer. There's a lot of, you know, Brent Burns, I think, can contribute more offensively than he has. Not that his numbers are terrible, but, you know, when you get some of those guys going, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, you get some of those guys going, get some of those guys scoring, finishing chances, you know, then you've got a juggernaut. And so what we've seen is I liken it to North Carolina basketball a little bit this season. You know, it's tough to get up to play the Sacramento Kings in November. That's if you're a playoff team, it's tough to get up to play the Blue Jackets. That doesn't mean people are not trying or they're lazy or they're bad or they don't have character. It's human. It's part of it. When you know that your season's going to be judged by how you do in the playoffs and you'd have to screw up so royally not to get there, things are going to slip through the cracks. It's natural. It's not a character flaw or a value judgment. I think what you're seeing lately is less stuff slipping through the cracks, more guys contributing, and good goaltending. Look, it's a goaltending league, and they've gotten it.
They really have gotten good goaltending. We don't know about the status of Pyotr Kochetkov for tonight. I just talked to Rod Brindamore about an hour ago, and he thinks it's 50-50 at best that we see Pyotr, which means that we would see back-to-back Antti Raanta experiences that we never thought we would see Antti on back-to-back nights. But if he's healthy, then by all means, like, they've proven that they can win with him. They're 6-2-2 with Antti Raanta in net. So
And it's not like he's been overused, right? He should be fresh.
Right.
You know, and look, if there's anything wrong with Master P, you know, don't play him against the Flyers. I mean, I know it's a trap game, the last game
totally.
Christmas and the Flyers, and how do you get excited about that? But, you know, let Raanta play and don't risk, you know, further injury with the kid. Just, you know, do the smart thing. So, yeah, I mean, if Antti Raanta can't play back-to-back games with 5 days off ahead of him, then, you know, he's in as bad a shape as I am, and I don't think he is.
No question. Did you hear any of the Paulo Banchero podcast on with J.J. Redick? Did you hear any of that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Banchero's clip where he talked about that game being the most pressure he'd ever felt, including whatever games he has played so far in the NBA, which is interesting because he plays for Orlando, and I'm not sure there's any pressure playing for a team that is not in the playoffs, not going to be in the playoff picture. But also that week was such that it was hard for them to practice and game plan for North Carolina. Did you take anything out of that was somehow that painted Kay or Duke in a bad light? Because I understand why some people are taking it that way. I think those are North Carolina people by and large, but it doesn't mean they're wrong.
No, and look, Kay admitted this, I think, the Thursday before that game when we met up with him in Scharf Hall, you know, the big final bumper Kay last home game press conference. He admitted that the stuff had gotten out of control. There were too many people at the house. There was too much going on.
Right.
You know, there's no question that if you gave Kay and quite frankly, his family a mulligan on that, they would do things very differently around that final home game. I don't think anyone was malicious about it or, you know, intended to overshadow the game. But there's no question the fanfare and the ceremony and the events. I mean, it was like an all-star game with all the crap that was going on and the people in town. There's no question that kept Duke from preparing the way Duke needed to prepare. And look, Carolina played Duke the ultimate compliment. You know, they didn't roll over. They showed up to ruin the evening and they damn well did. So, you know, yeah, I think what Banchero said reinforces what many of us thought before the game, what many of us thought after the game, what many of us wrote about after the game and before the game for that matter, was that the sideshow had become the show. Yeah. And it's tough to win a rivalry basketball game, as Banchero said, under that much pressure. And I wrote that going into the week of the game, too. That's the most pressure a Duke team has felt
since
UNLV, whatever. You know, like we're talking 30 years since a Duke team played under that kind of pressure. And this was not Leitner and Hurley and a bunch of guys who had been through the wars and were 22 years old. It was a bunch of kids who were still figuring out college basketball at that point. And we know that because we saw how much they grew from that point on to get to the Final Four. So, yeah, I applaud Paulo Banchero for his honesty in not whitewashing that. And two, I think the fact that he feels comfortable coming out and say it says that Kay said as much to his team. And I think he probably at some point, just as he apologized to the fans after that loss, I think it's pretty clear that at some point there was a come to Jesus meeting with the team where he apologized because they were not ready for that game.
No. And he had to apologize, especially after the post game ceremony at Cameron Indoor, which, I mean, you don't have to apologize to anybody. I mean, that's kind of you weren't just going to roll the balls out and beat North Carolina. I know you beat them there, but beat them in Chapel Hill, but you weren't just going to roll the balls out and beat that team. I mean, North Carolina's they have good players. I mean, in terms of talent, the two teams were pretty, you know, there was a pretty big gap in terms of talent. But, you know, basketball, when you're playing with a bunch of freshmen versus a bunch of upperclassmen who are also good, I mean, that's all the leveling of the playing field that you need. So let's get to the top three stories from 2022. as Luke Dukak sees them? What are I have my own three. I bet there's some overlap here. We might have even discussed one. What are your top three stories from 2022?
Are we going to go like 3-3-2-2-1-1, or you just want me to blast out my three here?
Blast out your three.
Okay.
Because there's going to be overlap.
I'm going to go 3-1 because I think one's pretty obvious here. And number three is probably not one that you have. Maybe it is. I don't know. The fall Olympic sports season. So that's, I think a lot of this went under the radar. NC State winning a women's cross country title.
Oh, wow.
North Carolina winning a 10th field hockey title. Aaron Mattson out on top. Karen Shelton retires on top. Aaron Mattson's going to go down as one of the great ACC athletes, period.
Yes.
UNC women's soccer playing for a title, back in the title game.
Did they get screwed?
You know, I was out of the country for that, so I can't.
I don't think so, but boy, do people believe that they got hosed on the game tying goal. Of course, they had a two goal lead with 10 minutes to play, but that's another story.
I would argue that over the past 30 years, North Carolina has gotten more of a share of the breaks in women's soccer than possibly any team in any sport ever. I mean, you're talking about the Yankees and the Packers and everything rolled into one. The Cowboys rolled into one. They've gotten their share. The refs know who's supposed to win most of the time. Most of the time, that's Carolina. So no tears there. They had a great season. And one more is Duke women's soccer forward Michelle Cooper had perhaps the best season of any individual in the Triangle that no one's paying attention to. She's got a chance to be the first non-Carolina women's soccer player in the Triangle to win the Herman Trophy, which would be a huge deal. She's already turned pro. That's how good her season was.
Wow. North Carolina Courage have a spot for her with Dabinia saying that she's leaving the club.
Adam, I guarantee you she'd rather play in Europe than play for the Courage right now. That franchise is so toxic. Everybody's left.
Everybody is. It's
that should be maybe number three. Is it wasn't that long ago the Courage was the best women's soccer franchise in the world.
Now
it's like bottom of the NWSL. Mm-hmm. No one wants to play there. That's a unbelievable collapse.
I have no. I mean, other than Paul Riley, I don't know what to attribute it to. But maybe that's why the players were leaving, because there was a mass exodus under Paul Riley of players who went elsewhere. Maybe
and
that's it.
Paul Riley. I mean, if you look at the latest, I mean, not to get sidetracked here, if you read the report that the league and the union did together, which is a fantastic report, you find out two things. One, the abuse continued after Paul Riley got to Carolina. It wasn't just a Portland thing.
Right.
And Kaylee Kurtz deserves all the credit in the world for coming forward and being open and honest about that. And two, when players complained about Paul Riley, no one did anything. So why would you want to play for a franchise that doesn't take you seriously?
Right. 100%.
All right. Number two. Sorry, we got sidetracked there. Number two. It is the Canes for me, and it's the fact that they actually had a disappointing season.
Last year? Yeah.
Yeah. It's been such a – it's still 2022.
Yeah.
It's been such an ascent for that team since the fall of 2018. Just steady, steady, steady progress, getting better players, spending to the cap, playing silly cap games to go over the cap. To lose to a team like the Rangers, which quite frankly didn't have a tenth of the talent that the Hurricanes did except in goal, is a huge disappointment. And I think that's been reflected in the play of some players like Martin Natchez, you know, who have come in this year with a new attitude. I think it may end up in the long term being a healthy thing. There's no shame in losing to the Lightning. There's no shame in losing to the Bruins. There's some shame in losing to the Rangers last year. And I think that has the potential to be a motivator. The way the Hurricanes have played this fall, they don't look like they're willing to let that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact, and I know you're going to say this, they still are finishing chances at a Rangers series rate. They're just creating so many more of them. And the goaltending's better. And look, if Freddie Anderson is healthy, maybe that's a different story last spring, although I thought the goaltending was fine.
They didn't lose because of goaltending to the Rangers.
No, but they also – there were a couple games that the goaltender could have won for them.
Game six or seven.
Especially on the road. Yeah. So maybe Freddie's different there. But, you know, as we joked about last week, you know, Freddie up in the press box with us gives it that playoff feel. But he's the guy who gives them – he's the guy who gives them the best chance to win the Stanley Cup. He needs to take whatever time he needs to get healthy and avoid what happened last year. So that's number two for me. Like, oh, the Canes are terrible. But that was newsworthy to me that this upward ascension was interrupted and now they've actually got some pressure. You know, they're done playing with house money.
Right, okay.
You know, the expectations are here. The window is closing, not imminently, but we're on the downside of that bell curve toward the Slavin and Pesci contracts.
This year and next year.
Right. So there's a limited window here for this group. So anyway, that's number two. And number one is the two Duke-UNC games and everything that went with them. We've covered the first one pretty adequately. The second one, the basketball apocalypse, the long-awaited meeting of Duke and Carolina in the Final Four. We survived.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a game, hell of a finish. You know, came down to missed free throws and a huge shot. A lot to like about the way that season ended from a neutral perspective, just the drama and the fact that Kay had two chances to beat UNC in the two biggest games of his final season. And his arch rival won them both. And that's what makes a rivalry great. Although I do think we have moved into a new phase of the rivalry because the sort of Dean, Kay, Roy generation of that, I think UNC can kind of put a foot down on that. I think that we're on to whatever's next.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. We have, you know, Hubert's not necessarily a young coach. I mean, he's younger than me. Shire is a young coach, but Hubert's a new coach, and I think he's doing a great job. I love the way he handles his team, and, you know, the jury is out. We don't know what John's season is going to look like. We'll add it up at the end and see where it all stops. But I think both choices were the right choices for each program. My choices for this topic were a little bigger picture. I like the fact that you localized it because for me, and you and I talked about it some, LIV Golf was one of the biggest stories that hit sports. It brought, you know, it's funny, we don't talk about it, but Man City and PSG are basically, Newcastle is wholly owned by the Saudis. Yeah. PSG is wholly owned by the Qataris. And Man City is a conglomerate that is mostly owned by oil money in the Gulf. It's not a nation state, but it is mostly owned by that. But we don't talk about that, but LIV, because it hit so close to home, we talked about that. That was number three. Number two was Messi winning his World Cup. Right? And again, I was looking at a different level.
Those. We've got LIV at the President's Cup that overshadowed that whole tournament. And Greg Berhalter getting the U.S. to the round of 16.
I like Berhalter, but if you're going to tell Giovanni Reyna that you're going to play a limited role, then I don't want you.
Yeah.
I don't want for that reason alone. If he was healthy, he has to play.
Let me quote soccer expert Sidney Lowe. Your best players have to be your best players, but you got to give them that chance.
Right.
You got to give them that chance.
I thought that was Joe Giglio that said that.
You got it from Sid, and you know that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
For me, number one was the K senior night.
Yeah.
That there was so much on that night. It should have been easy for us to all forecast how that was going to play out simply because, A, it's a rivalry game. Road teams win on the other's court no matter the disparity between the talent level of those two teams. And the amount of pressure that was on those kids was – you could have made diamonds. It was just – honestly, I think Banchero – probably won't play another game with that much pressure until he plays in a playoff game in the NBA.
Probably for a different NBA team. Right. Probably his second team. Yeah, the other part of that, Adam, that people forget, and look, you are what your record says you are. The scoreboard is what it is. With 10 minutes to go in that game, it was a completely different discussion. It was a real honest basketball game
right.
that changed course in the second half. I mean, Carolina played the same five guys the entire second half. I don't think that gets talked about enough, you know, in the heat in Cameron. I mean, that was not the February Cameron game. That was a hot day.
Right.
That building was warm, and they played those same five guys for 20 minutes in the second half. They played great. And you know, that was really a preview of the Carolina we were going to see the next six games. You know, this sort of fearless, hot shooting, resilient team that it hadn't been for big chunks of the year, and Duke sort of wilting in the last 10 minutes.
I think the biggest factor in that game, Brady Manick's defense on Paolo Banchero.
Yeah. I mean, the one, you know, I shouldn't say the one game, a game where Brady Manick played excellent defense. And I just remember, to me, the one thing that stands out from that game, there's two things, that's two images that are seared in my brain. The one is Jay Williams standing with all the former players signaling to call a timeout, which I just like, yo, and the look on his face was like, ooh. Yeah. And then the other was at one point during the post game ceremony, the planned part of it, not Kay's impromptu grab the microphone and tell people how disappointed he was.
Yeah.
There's one point during the ceremony where he, you know, was looking up at the screen and Mickey was holding his hand and it was all super awkward. And he looked down and he just kind of put the bridge of his nose in his hand. And, you know, Mickey's holding one hand and he's kind of got his elbow on his thigh and his head resting, bridge of his nose resting his hand. And you just could see, like, I don't think he's experienced a loss like that very often in his career. And you could just, it was like watching someone get hit by a train in that moment. Like, and you know, this is a guy whose public image is so polished. And so I don't want to say choreographed, but you very rarely see moments of real unscripted emotion that isn't positive emotion. You see joy, you know, I'm not saying that's fake or script, but it was just a really revealing moment of a guy who was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, well, he's an emotional guy, and there was so much emotion, good and bad, that wrapped up. And it was the final time he'd ever coach a game in Cameron, a game, you know, where it mattered. He might coach some sort of a charity game at Cameron again, but he'll never coach a game that matters at Cameron Memorial Stadiums, all of that.
Don't tell me that K Academy doesn't matter, Adam.
All right, Luke Dukak, Merry Christmas to you. I'll see you tonight, probably at PNC Arena. If not, I'll see you very soon. I thank you very much for these Fridays. You're the man.
Yeah, we'll do it again in 2023. And thank you for having me on. And enjoy your time.
I owe you so much golf. It's not even funny. So much.
We'll collect at some point.
All right, good. Good. I'm going to hold you to it. I promise you. Thank you very much. That's Luke Dukak, at Luke Dukak on Twitter, News and Observer. Halftime. Still in a World Cup mode.
Your halftime entertainment.
Sorry, I was wishing Luke a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Though we might see him at the arena tonight. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm sure he's going to the game.
It's all possible.
Tony D'Angelo is coming back.
That's right. You know who might be coming back? Gal Gadot to the Fast and Furious series.
No way.
Yes. So she was in numbers 5 and 6. You know who's going to love this? Brendan Whitted. Brendan loves the Fast and Furious
dudes.
Movies. Huh?
Dudes.
Well, there's
that's who's going to love it.
No, like he just loves all of those. He loves all the whole franchise.
Is The Rock in this one?
I don't think. No, he hasn't been since, I think, number 7.
That's the one. The only one I saw.
Well, he's been in, I think, 3 of them. His first one was number 5. It was number 5.
I don't know. He and Vin Diesel did stupid things with cars.
Well, yeah. But anyway.
I saw that one.
Apparently, she might be reprising her role as Giselle Yashar. Again, apparently, in number 6, if you watch the film, she, spoiler alert, passed away or died saving her boyfriend.
Psych!
Han. I don't know. Maybe. Or is it a flashback? Who knows when continuity where these things are going to fall. Also, it's interesting that her Justice League co-star Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, is also going to debut in the film franchise in number 10.
Nice.
Fast X, I believe it's called. Because, you know, got to do that. So there you go. There's a return for you.
Nice.
You know, it's not returning. HBO has canceled Back on the Record with Bob Costas after 2 seasons.
Have they?
I guess it was 4 episodes per year. It's where Costas had these in-depth conversations with sports entertainment, pop culture figures.
Gotcha.
I hate Bob Costas.
Why do you hate Bob Costas?
I do not like Bob Costas.
I find him annoying. Okay, that's fine.
I find him extremely annoying. I've never liked Bob Costas.
I love Bob Costas.
When Bob Costas is on my television, I tend to either mute or change the channel.
I've always liked Bob.
Well, we are on opposite sides
that's
of that.
Fine. Halfway there.
Season 3 of Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime is out.
I know. Every time, because we are Amazon Prime subscribers, customers, members, I don't know what it's called. So when we flip on our YouTube TV, I see all these Jack Ryan things. I've never watched an episode of it. But
it's great.
I'm sure it
is. I very much enjoy it. It's a little bit, obviously it's got some action to it. John Krasinski plays the lead role. But it's got some action, like some political espionage type stuff going on. It's very, very good.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of it. Very big fan of it. And my final question for you, sir, as we wrap up Halftime Entertainment. You watched Top Gun Maverick last night?
I have not watched Top Gun Maverick yet.
Okay, that's disappointing.
I was busy last night.
Oh, I know. You had the Canes game.
The Canes game,
I guess.
I was falling asleep. I was nodding off while I was recording the podcast. I apologize to the podcast listeners if I didn't make any sense. I do.
That's fair. I kind of wish there was sound of you snoring. Is there sound of you
snoring? No, I didn't fall asleep, but I was like...
You know, like the nod off, you know, that.
I started to ramble, which I do anyway. Never mind. People might not have been able to tell the difference.
Okay, that's fair. Well, my final question actually is for you is how much more holiday shopping do you need to get done?
Very little.
Okay.
But I definitely have things that I need to get. Why are you asking?
No, I'm just curious.
Oh, okay. I have...
Because you have a day left. Because I know you're not getting anything done today, probably, unless you get... some done before you go to the arena.
I might sneak in a trip real quick before I get to the arena.
Yeah. I'm actually curious, thinking about just how the weather is with the wind and people might be losing power and things along those lines. It's very cold. My thought in terms of the game tonight against the Flyers, are a lot of people going to show up because, we lost power, but we have tickets to the game. We can actually go do something.
It'll be warm there.
Exactly. It's going to be warm in there. Compared to it is outside. Or if people are going to be like, nah, weather and stuff's kind of cold. We don't want to stand outside or wait outside or anything like that. Let's just nestle up at home. And also, people are traveling because of the holidays.
Snuggle. You should have used snuggle
right
there.
Well, you know, some people live alone. But I'm also thinking as well is that a lot of people are traveling. Are people going to be sitting at home? Or they're going to be on the road, people who normally would have tickets, those kinds of things. I'm just curious how things are going to be in terms of attendance tonight. I expect it to be packed because Flyers fans will show up still.
You know, I don't know how many were there against the Penguins on Sunday. I don't recall. Or the Devils on
Devils on Tuesday. Pretty full.
I actually have that information at my disposal, and I'll go check it, but they have had one, before this, they had one crowd that was less than 18,000 this year.
Really?
One. And that was the Capitals.
Really?
The Capitals trip, which Washington won, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the only game before the Pens and the Devils, and I don't recall what the attendance was for those two games. They appeared full, but I don't know. One game where there was fewer than 18,000 people in the building.
Wow.
Was the Capitals game.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're one of the top teams in the league in attendance. How about that? Which, for those of us that have been paying attention to the Hurricanes over the last, while, if they're good, people are coming.
Imagine that.
And it took like 5 years of bad before people stopped coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stayed away because it wasn't good enough. And I told Tom Dundon this in year one, as they were starting to get better. He goes, when are people going to come back? I said, just wait. They'll be back. It might not be this year because there's normally a lag, but they will be back. Actually, it was before the end of that season. People started going.
Yeah.
They were just looking for a reason.
It's amazing because every franchise goes through it. I mean, our old friend, our good friend, Alec Campbell, when he used to work in Chicago, said you could just walk into a Blackhawks game when they were terrible, basically.
Dude, the Wolves outdrew the Blackhawks at one point.
Yeah, the AHL team.
That is amazing.